I would like to teach you a little Hebrew. Maybe you already know this, maybe not. Two words. First word is Rabbah. Can you please say Rabbah?
Rabbah.
Second word, Emunatecha. Anybody know what that means? Very good. Great is your faithfulness. And that is that's part of the Modei Ani prayer that that's said every morning by Jews around the world. The Modei Ani prayers, I give thanks before you, O living and eternal King, for with compassion you have returned my soul within me. Rabbah Emunatecha, great is your faithfulness. First prayer said in the morning, every day. I'm going to ask you throughout the service to say Rabbah Emunatecha. Why? Because we've got to get in the habit of saying to the Lord, great is your faithfulness. Okay? So let's try it one more time. Rabbah Emunatecha.
Rabbah Emunatecha.
Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. And the Bible and our lives are filled with stories of God's faithfulness. Day in and day out, chapter after chapter, Rabbah Emunatecha, great is your faithfulness. But the Bible is also filled with a lot of stories of struggle and persecution. And we find that in today's Torah portion as well. Today's Torah portion is about Joseph, okay, and his persecution by his brothers who are jealous of him. And they throw him into a pit. And they plot to kill him. They decide instead to sell him into slavery. He goes into Egypt. He's a slave in Egypt. But he's a good slave. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. He's wise. He becomes the chief slave of his master's house. And things aren't looking so bad until his master's wife accuses him of indecency, which isn't true, but anyway, she makes the accusation, so he's thrown into a pit. And he's in prison, and he doesn't deserve to be in prison, hardship after hardship after hardship. But in the midst of it all, great is your faithfulness. Together, Rabbah Emunatecha. And this happens in our own lives as well. This persecution, this downtime, this feeling like we're in the dungeon, like Joseph was in the dungeon. And sometimes it's not our fault. Sometimes it's because of mean-spirited people around us. Sometimes it's just because the car broke down. The car just broke down. Not my fault. The car just broke down. Sometimes it's getting laid off. Health issues, whatever it might be. We are dealing with difficulties. We're feeling in the dungeon. Sometimes it is our fault. Sometimes we're in the dungeon because we've been sinful. And we're in the dungeon. Regardless of how you got in the dungeon, great is your faithfulness. Rabbah Emunatecha. Great is your faithfulness. Even in the dungeon experiences, great is God's faithfulness. Okay? So how do we get to the point where we can be in the dungeon and still proclaim great is your faithfulness? I'll tell you one thing that's not necessary. It's not necessary to know how God's going to get you out. It's not necessary to know how God is going to get you out, right? Joseph didn't know that God was going to use his gift of interpreting dreams to get him out of the dungeon. Pharaoh has a dream comes to his attention that Joseph can interpret dreams. He brings him out of the dungeon. Joseph didn't know that. He didn't need to know that. All he needed to know while he was in the prison was great is his faithfulness. That's all he needed to know. Okay? Rabbah Emunatecha. Okay? I've been there myself. We've all been there. Right? Some of us are there currently. Some of us will be there. Okay? It's a part of life. We're going to be in the dungeon. A few years ago, I was feeling very much in the dungeon before we moved down to Tallahassee. Okay? And some of you know a little bit of my story. I was up in Virginia, and I was just, it was a difficult time in my life. Okay? A difficult time. My family was having various problems. I was working at an inner city middle school is bad enough inner city's bad enough, but an inner city middle school where it would not be that uncommon to see somebody being taken out in handcuffs. It was just a difficult situation. It was a difficult situation. I was stressed. And I would plead with the Lord. I would plead with the Lord, take me out of this dungeon. Right? And sometimes I still have difficult days, but the Lord has delivered me. Right? The Lord has delivered me from that dungeon. I didn't know how he was going to do it, but he did it. Psalm 34, verse 20, or verse 19 in the Christian Bible says this: many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I'm going to say it again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Okay? So we don't need to know the specifics of how God's going to do it. We just need to know he's going to be your deliverance. He's going to be my deliverance. And we get the assurance from that by a word from the Lord or by a vision from the Lord. Okay? For me, that word came through just encouraging, you know, the Lord just opening up the right scripture to me at the right time. I've not become invisible in the Lord's sight. The Lord has his eyes on me. Bam, that scripture speaks to me. Or somebody gives me a word. Josh, you just feel like the Lord's saying he loves you. He knows your name. Okay? I remember one Saturday morning, actually started Friday night, had on a song on the radio station about the Lord knows your name, right? And then I just happened to open up to Isaiah. He's called you by name. And the next morning at services, somebody had a word from the Lord, didn't know who it was for, so they said to everyone, the Lord knows your name. Like three or four times that day, in the song. And they were singing a song about the Lord knows your name. Four times in probably 12 hours or less, the Lord said to me, the Lord knows your name. He gave me a word that though I'm in the dungeon, I'm not forgotten. Right? Though I'm in the dungeon, I'm not forgotten. And that word comes to us, and we need to be listening for it without the distractions. Allow the Lord to speak to us in that difficult place. You're not forgotten. This is my vision for you. This is my plan for you. For Joseph, it came through dreams that happened before all this, right? Genesis 37, 5 through 9, Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him all the more. He said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves came around and bowed down to my sheaf. His brothers said to him, will you indeed reign over us? Or will you indeed have dominion over us? They hated him all the more for his dreams and for his words. He dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brothers and said, behold, I have dreamed yet another dream, and behold, the sun and moon and 11 stars bow down to me. All right, so Joseph's a little immature. Probably should have kept these dreams to himself, right? It makes sense. You're going to say something like that to people. They're not going to be too kind of hearing it. But regardless, he had the dream. He had the vision. He's in the prison, right? Hopefully he's remembering that dream. I don't know how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. Maybe he's even wondering if it happened. But he had the word from the Lord that should have helped get him through that dungeon. And you and I need to hear the word of the Lord that's going to help us get through those dungeon experiences. What is the Lord speaking into my life? That I'm precious in his sight. Maybe it's a more specific word. You're going to do X, Y, and Z for me. I'm going to bless your family. Your children are going to know the Lord. Whatever the word might be, we cling to it in the midst of difficult circumstances, in the midst of absolute trials, in the midst of absolute hopelessness sometimes, the word of the Lord will be faithful. And we say to the Lord, great is your faithfulness. Rabbah, together, Rabbah emunatecha, great is your faithfulness, O Lord. And sometimes we complain. Sometimes our complaints are because we've grabbed a hold of the wrong vision. We grabbed a hold of what would be nice or what our emotions are driving us to rather than what the Lord has actually spoken. All right? And some people grab a hold of the material things. Lord, where is my nice car? Right? Where's my Mercedes-Benz? I've been praying and praying and praying for a decade now, Lord God. You're not faithful, and we start to think, because you're not fulfilling the vision. Well, it's not the Lord's vision. It's not the Lord's vision. Where's my career that I wanted? Okay? I could have, and it was difficult for me. I spent 7 years in that difficult job. And I kind of felt like Jacob working 7 years for his wife, that at the end of 7 years, the Lord would deliver me from it. And at the end of 7 years, I left and came here. But during the 7 years of working a job that almost every day gets you really, really stressed is not easy, right? And so, Lord, where is it? Whole year I've been, the first year of my schooling there, I was like, there's got to be something better than this for me. I got on the internet. Where's the most low-key place I can think of where they still speak English? New Zealand. Started looking for jobs in New Zealand, literally. I was crazy. It's like, I've got to get out of this place. And the Lord had a plan for me to leave that place, but not for 7 years. Because he was working things out in me. He was using that experience to teach me something. To teach me something. So, but my vision could have been, no, I need a new job. Could have quit my job and then, I don't know what, look for a nice cardboard box for my family to live in or something. But he had me in that job for a reason. I had to grab a hold of what his vision was, right? Lord, where's my nice home? Lord, where's that new career? Lord, I want to do this with my life. And I've heard people say, the Lord's given me a love for it. It must be from the Lord. Maybe. Or maybe we need to submit our emotions and say, Lord, what is your vision for my life? And we've got to quiet ourselves down. Sometimes say, Lord, where's my healing? Right? And we pray in faith. I remember one time, you know, growing up, I used to listen to some of these faith healers, you know, and things like that. And I'm not saying the Lord doesn't heal miraculously. The Lord absolutely heals miraculously, but not at our beck and call. First, we have to hear from him. And I didn't understand this concept back then. They weren't teaching it, the people I was listening to. They were just teaching name it, claim it kind of stuff, right? Well, you name it and claim it after you've heard from him. You hear from him first, right? Anyway, wanted to stay up all night long because I had a cold and I was going to demand of the Lord that he heal me. Well, maybe the Lord just wanted me to rest and let it run its course. I don't know. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. By reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted excessively, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Hasatan, Satan, to buffet me, that I should not be exalted excessively. God's doing awesome things through Paul. God is turning the world, the Roman world, upside down through Paul. He has a thorn in the flesh, whatever it might be. He wants healing, but the Lord has another plan for it. Paul, it's to keep you humble. It's to keep you humble. Concerning this thing, I begged the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Messiah may rest on me. I'm okay being weak, Lord. I'm okay if you don't heal this of me. I want your power to be made known. Right? It's not about me getting out of the job when I want. It's not about me being healed when I want. It's about, Lord, what are you speaking to me? Well, here's what I'm speaking to you, Paul. This is to help keep you humble. Here's what I'm speaking to you, Josh. You have got something to learn here in this place, in this school, right? That's what you need to do. Okay? Lord, my life is not what I want, and we beat and we kick at the prison walls. Instead of quieting our spirits and hearing from the Lord, right? The Lord's Prayer, Messiah's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 13. If we can get this prayer down, if we can understand it, interact with it day in and day out, it's a life changer, right? We kind of flippantly read through it sometimes because we haven't memorized and it's so short and it just seems like, okay, Yeshua's helping us cover everything. Making sure we praise Him, making sure we ask for this, making sure, you know, it is a life-changing prayer if you interact with it the way you should. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Does anybody have a cough drop? I'm having a hard time, or hard candy or something. I'm having a hard time not. Okay. If not, could somebody fill up my cup for me? Thank you so much. All right. Forgive me. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Right away, God's dealing with our focus. God is dealing with our focus, like with Paul. Paul's focus was, Lord, take this thorn in the flesh away from me. God's focus is, this is for my glory, right? This is to keep you humble and for my glory. Thank you so much. Thank you. Right? So we have to get that first line down. It's not just that God is glorified. It's not just that we see Him as holy. It's that we need to change our focus. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. That is the first line of the prayer, not our Father in heaven, let me get the car, let me get the healing, let me get the... Our Father in heaven, your name be kept holy. That is the focus of my prayer and the focus of my life. Line two, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. I'm submitting myself to your kingdom. Sometimes the kingdom of God is furthered through the dungeon experiences. A lot of times it is. Not my will, your will. Not my kingdom, Lord, your kingdom. Can you pray that and understand it? Lord, I want you to be glorified and be kept holy. Lord, I want your kingdom to come. Lord, I want your will to be done. This is a prayer of submission. This is a prayer of submission to God. Give us this day our daily bread. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Kevin or somebody at the prayer meeting last Monday was telling me about a church, Marianne, a church you visited, right? And they held up the Bible and they said, what? What did they say?
Give us more money.
Give us more money. Bigger houses.
Better cars,
right? As if the word of the Lord is there for us like that. Contrast that with this simple request. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. In the 1 Timothy portion, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Right? This is a heart attitude thing. This is not covering the bases to make sure we pray all the right things. It is kind of that, but it's deeper than that. This is not just a prayer of prayer of intercession. As I pray, your kingdom come, let your kingdom come in power. It is that, right? It's a prayer of intercession. But it's more than that. It's a prayer that digs deep into our own hearts and changes our own hearts. So instead of bigger houses, better cars, the healing I need, it's, no, Lord, the focus of my life is let your name be kept holy. I want people to see your holiness and glorify you. No, Lord, not my kingdom, your kingdom. This is a prayer of submission. prayer of laying it on the altar. No, Lord God, not my will, your will be done. Lord, just give me today my daily bread and I'll be content, right? This is a heart attitude prayer. And then, of course, it goes even deeper with forgiving the debts of others as we've been forgiven, and leading us, allowing the Lord to lead you, not into temptation. This is, you get this prayer right, you've got your heart right. Okay? So get that prayer right and understand this is not just hitting the bases of the right things to pray for. This is a heart-changing, life-changing prayer. And it's one of humility before the Lord. And if we don't get this, then we start to think God's not been faithful. I didn't get the car, God's not faithful, right? That's the problem with some of these name it, claim it kind of thoughts. Is, well, I prayed it, and I prayed it in faith, it didn't happen, God must not be real, right? God didn't deliver me from that job in the time I wanted. God didn't deliver me from the sickness in the time I wanted. God, you must not be faithful. But instead, if I hear and receive the word of the Lord, the vision of the Lord, instead of my own vision, then I know, and I can say, great is your faithfulness. Together, Rabbah Emunatecha. Though I be in the dungeon, Rabbah Emunatecha. Great is your faithfulness, because God's word doesn't fail. God's vision doesn't fail. Ours does. His doesn't. Right? I find the lives of the disciples intensely fascinating. Here are 12 men who left everything to follow this wandering, miracle-working rabbi that they didn't fully understand. They didn't get it. You know, the scriptures tell us they didn't always get it. And yet they left everything to follow him. And sometimes their questions and the things they say makes you just know they didn't get it. The questions say things they say, Lord, that we might sit on your right and your left in your kingdom, as if the kingdom's going to come in a day or a week or a year, in the fullness of the kingdom, and we're just going to be sitting there reigning, and we're going to kick the Romans, took us, and we're going to reign, and it's going to be glorious, Lord God. Can't wait, right? And that's their focus sometimes. They don't understand the persecution. They don't understand the death and resurrection of Messiah. So imagine you've given everything. What does Peter say? Matthew 19:27. We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? We've left everything to follow you. Peter was not just a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman businessman, right? He left that business. Right? Matthew was probably a pretty lucrative job as a tax collector. Left that. They left everything to follow the Lord, expecting a Messiah who they're going to reign and rule with. And when Yeshua says, I'm going to die, Peter rebukes him. They don't get it, right? So imagine you've left everything for this wandering rabbi. Time with your family, time developing your business. And then imagine your hopes are on this guy, and you see him being nailed to a cross by the Romans, right? And with every pounding of the nail, your hopes are being dashed, right? And then he's dead. This bloody, crucified Messiah is dead. And they lay him in the tomb. You're in the dungeon. These guys are in the dungeon. These guys scatter in fear. These guys, they don't get it. They don't get it. What don't they get? They don't get what the cross was about. Right? They don't get what the death of the Messiah was about. We know, right, the death of the Messiah is about the atonement of our sins. The death of the Messiah is about God reaching down into human history to rescue us for his glory, and that we might dwell with him. We get it. But at the time, they didn't get it. In addition to the atonement, I'll tell you what the cross is also about. Being put to death was the idea that triumph comes through man's might and wisdom. That's being put to death on the cross. Being put to death was the disciples' vision of a kingdom that would throw off the oppression of the Romans and the yoke of the opposing Jewish groups. We picked the right guy. We got the right guy. Look at the miracles he's working. There he is dead. Our vision of what he was supposed to do didn't happen. We feel like he's a failure. We feel like he wasn't faithful. Right? Thomas says, unless I put my hand into his wounds, I'm not going to believe that he rose from the dead. We feel like he failed. Being put to death was an idea that in just a short while, everything would be made right, and they would reign on thrones over Jerusalem in their own time. More importantly, though, than what was being put to death was what was being brought to life, right? While man's vision for an Israel free from Roman oppression was being put to death, at least in the short term, God's vision for death conquered by the resurrected Messiah was coming to life. While the disciples' vision for a life of honor next to King Messiah's side was being put to death, at least in the short term, God's vision that they would be so in love with Messiah that they would willingly give their lives was being brought to life. So the disciples' concerns are being put to death. And God's plan and God's will and God's vision is being brought to life in power. In power. And the first step of it being brought to life in power is a bloody crucified Messiah. The first step in God raising up Joseph so that those sheaves of wheat bow down to him was him being thrown into a pit by his own brothers. The first step in God raising me up to become a rabbi was 7 grueling years in a difficult job where I'd plead with the Lord, Lord, take me out. The Lord said, stop praying that. Don't focus on that. Lord, I just want to be a musician. Don't focus on that. Don't pray about that. Pray about this. Pray about your relationship with me. Pray about your relationship with your family. Develop these things right now. And the Lord gave me a vision for my life for later. But my first step was I had to walk through that dungeon experience. And Joseph had to walk through that dungeon experience. And the disciples had to walk through that dungeon experience. And then in the resurrection, what great joy. Through Joseph, what was Joseph's concern in the prison? What was Joseph? He interpreted the dream of the cupbearer to King Pharaoh, who was also in prison. He says, when Pharaoh takes you out of prison, tell him about me. I want to get out of this place. That was Joseph's concern. I want to get out of this place. What was God's concern? God's concern is, I want to reconcile you with your brothers. I want to save the world from famine through you. I want to save Israel through you. My people are going to become a nation here, and you're going to make it happen, but you've got to go through the dungeon experience first. So you're worried about the car. You're worried about the healing. God's worried about these bigger, more vast, more incredible things. We've got to get his vision. His vision is better than our vision. His vision is better than the house and the car. His vision is better, Paul, than you being healed, because in your humility, the glory of God is going to work wonderful things. The vision of the Lord, Josh, is greater than you just getting a better job. You're going to lead people to the Lord. The Lord has blessed me with leading 4 Jewish people to the Lord this last year. This is better than my vision. I like that vision, God. I like that vision. Right? So we've got to get a hold of, Lord, what is your vision? My vision is just to get out of the prison. the Lord's vision's greater, but it goes through the prison. It goes through the prison experience. Lord, the disciples are thinking, I just wanted to reign with him. Well, you're going to reign with him, but it's a bigger reigning. It's better than what you imagine. It's the new Jerusalem coming down. It's God dwelling with mankind, but it goes through the cross. Mm-hmm. And your development, and your maturity, and my maturity goes through the dungeon. Not around the dungeon, but through the dungeon, so that when we're in the dungeon, we have the vision of the Lord instead of our own vision. And we can say, Lord, let my vision die. It's too small. It's too small. My vision is, Lord, I just want to be comfortable. I just want to be comfortable. God's vision is, I'm going to change lives through you. Because the Spirit of the living God is in you. I want to change lives through you. But in the middle of the vision, you've got, in the middle of the dungeon, you've got to say, great is your faithfulness. Together, Rabbah. Emunatecha, great is your faithfulness to your vision, God, not to my vision, not to what I want. Great is your faithfulness to your vision. I just want a wife, some people think. I had a good friend, all right, I'll say it. I had a brother, have a brother, who wanted a wife, right? He was engaged to the wrong girl. Okay, but he wanted a wife. That was his vision. And she was pretty. Okay? And, but it was the wrong girl. Right? And I had to talk him out of it. And the day before his wedding, he canceled it. Right? And now, thank God, he's married to the right girl. Right? And they've got a baby. And his vision, God's vision was not just, okay, you can get married. God's vision was, I want you to marry the right girl. Have the right family. This is my vision for you. Get rid of your vision. I want, I want, I want. Be patient for my vision. Go through those times of loneliness, those times of persecution, whatever it might be. Learn my vision. And then you can walk through those difficult times. Say, no, the Lord is faithful. He's going to bring me through and he's going to do far beyond what I could have imagined. Far beyond what I could have imagined. Lord God Almighty, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God. And the first thing we need to do is we need to let our vision for our lives die. And we need to learn to say Messiah's prayer in such a way that it changes our hearts. Oh, Lord, my God. It doesn't say, our Father in heaven, give me what I want. It says, our Father in heaven, let your name be hallowed. Let your name be hallowed. Lord, that is our focus. Let your name be hallowed. Lord God, let your kingdom come. We are letting our kingdom die, our vision die, so that we might grab a hold of your kingdom and your vision. Let it die, and let yours live, Father God. Just like the disciples at the cross must have been thinking, man, I blew it. Put my trust in the wrong guy or something. I don't know what I did wrong. It's not going the way I want. Of course, it's not going the way you want, but it's going the way God wants, the way God foretold through his prophets that it would happen. And Joseph, man, maybe those dreams weren't of God. Here I am, I've been in a pit, I've been a slave, and now I'm back in a dungeon, back in a pit. Maybe the vision's not right, but no, the vision is of God. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So Lord God, we ask you in Yeshua's name, let our vision die, let our kingdom die, that yours might be brought to life in our lives, that we might say day in and day out, great is your faithfulness. Every morning we wake up, Rabbah Emunatecha, great is your faithfulness, O Lord God. Great is your faithfulness. Give me your vision for my life, Lord God. Yes, I want the healing. Please heal me, Lord God. But Lord God, regardless, my main focus is not that. My main focus is, Lord, that you be glorified and that your vision come about, because your vision's bigger than my vision. We worship you, we praise you, in Yeshua's name. Amen.